We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, TVTPFL. It's Thursday. It's October 21st. It's 2021. Three NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. I'm joined by a special guest and a guy, I mean, that has been around the industry as long as me. We're old school DFS. Head of NBA over at Establish the Run, Drew Dinkmeyer. Drew, it's been a long time, my friend.
It has been, Stevie. It's good to catch up, man. The folks over at Roto Grinders have a lot of the OGs in this industry, that's for sure. And you are certainly one of them, as am I. 10 years of playing these games now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I still remember one of the live finals that we were at, hanging out with your dad. And yeah, he was one of the nicest guys that I've ever met, and just a really nice guy. And Cal getting so mad that I had an older FanDuel account than him. I mean, those are the days.
Those are the days. I don't know if we could even compare them anymore these days. It's just a different world out in these DFS streets. Live finals were a little bit wholesomer, a little bit tighter knit community. But it's cool. It's been incredible to just watch this industry grow over the years.
I don't even try for live finals anymore, but the ones that we were able to hang out at, I mean, like you said, it was just like all the guys that you like want to hang out with all like happened to qualify. And I mean, we always had good times at those things. So that is not the reason that I brought you on here. Drew, you're doing an awesome thing. You've been doing it. Is it year five?
Yeah.
So you've been doing the Welly Maker for 5 years. You matched the first $20,000 in donations. I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, Al Smizzle has been doing stuff. And I mean, a lot of guys, CSU Ram does stuff. But Drew, you've been doing this for 5 years with the Welly Maker. Just kind of, I mean, this year has already been like, it's six digits now, right? Like, it's just incredible to just think what you're doing to help out.
Yeah, so we've raised over $115,000 so far this year, which is a new record for the Wally Maker. And I've only been promoting it for 2.5 weeks now. So usually these things run like a month to 2 months, sometimes 3 months, depending on kind of the point of the year and when Charity Water has their financial accounting done. But yeah, it's been incredible. The whole idea started basically, I was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast where he had Scott Harrison, the founder of Charity Water, on. And Scott was talking, you know, telling the story of Charity Water. And it's this just incredible organization that, you know, there's so many people, there's 780 million people around the world that don't have access to clean drinking water. And so something simple that we might take for granted when you grow up in kind of a privileged space. But these are communities that are traveling like 8 miles on foot with a gallon water jug to go drink dirty water that is similar water that, you know, animals are using and different things. And then there's limitations. So people are making choices on what they can do with their water each day in terms of whether they bathe themselves or wash their clothes or wash their dishes or make food. And it's such a simple foundational resource that I think is everybody deserves. I think clean water and an education are the two like foundations that I'd like to kind of put my efforts behind. And Charity Water just makes it so easy. With 100% of the donations going to the water projects and them following up and giving you information on where your money goes specifically, specific GPS coordinates on where it goes. So they're an organization that's just so easy to get behind. And it's been incredible. The community's just been so much more supportive of this mission than I ever could have imagined. I mean, when I first started this, I was trying to raise $10,000 just to do one water project. And the first year I did that, we raised that in 2 days. And so the community has just always been so great at supporting this cause. And I've been fortunate enough to do well in DFS. And this is kind of my way of being able to give back.
I mean, I've definitely tried to help out every year that I've seen you do this. And what's crazy to me and what got me was, I mean, you don't even think about this. Like you said, like, we don't think about this. We take showers, we run our sinks, we run our dishwashers. I mean, we don't even like think twice about that kind of stuff. The thing that got me was, I think it was the first or second year you're doing this. And I like looked into it more and I was like, man, there's so many children as a dad. Yeah. There's so yeah. many children that die yeah. from this. Yeah. I mean, and there's just things. There was this thing on like ESPN, Live Like Lucas with Carson Wentz and the kid.
Yeah.
They just hit you like so hard now that like you have kids. And I mean, you don't even think about this stuff. And I love what you're doing. When the opportunity arises for me to have you on to talk about this, like I jumped on it. Like we did this within 24 hours of messaging each other. So I love seeing it. And listen, I love what you're doing. I'm going to put the link in the description for the podcast. If you guys want to donate, it doesn't even have to be a lot. Like yeah. donate what you can. And I mean, just help out.
Yeah. In all these donations, we've had 161 unique donations so far. And every donation makes a pretty big impact. When you think about it, it costs about $30 to give one person clean drinking water for the rest of their lives. So, I mean, we have donations as small as $5 coming in. Like, it doesn't take a lot to make a really big impact. In every person's life that you're changing, it's not just them. It's a generation after them, right? It's like some of these water projects that have been done with Charity Water, they've now done them, you know, 10 plus years, and they go back to these communities and they see children who have grown up and now are getting ready to have their own children. And they know their children are never going to have this struggle because they now have access to clean water through, you know, a well or through a biosand filter or whatever the right, you know, solution is for that geography. But it's such a cool thing to have the community support with all this. Every year I'm so nervous because there's so many good causes in the world to give money to. Like, there's so many things that you can help people with. And I've raised during all sorts of things. I've raised after hurricanes destroyed, you know, Houston and different things. And I felt guilty. I'm asking, but people step up. People really, there's so many good people in this community, in this industry. And they show up for people when you ask them to show up for you. It's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, we've been doing this so long. We try to help people every single day. And I mean, yeah, you're nervous, but on the other side, it's like, don't go out for coffee or lunch for a week, donate $30, help one person and you make a difference. Like, yeah. It doesn't even seem like a lot. Like, you know, no coffee for a week at, you know, your favorite coffee spot and make coffee at home. And you could affect one life. And I mean, like I said, I love what you're doing. It's awesome. Like 115, like I know you go into the year and you're like, man, we're in the middle of like going through a pandemic. And like, yeah. I really don't know what this year is going to be. And I feel like it's still, people are getting behind your message and what you're wanting to do, because one, you're a good dude. And two, this is a really cool thing that, again, we don't think about on a daily basis.
Yeah. And the whole tagline, the whole idea for me with the Welly Maker was, you know, I was fortunate enough to win a Millie Maker in 2014. It changed my life substantially. And the whole idea was, we're playing in these DFS contests, especially during football season, where, man, if you have one really good weekend, you could have life-changing money out there. And we're all taking shots each and every weekend at trying to change our lives. And so instead of taking one entry away from like a Millie Maker, instead of taking one less entry to try to change my life, you can guarantee changing someone else's life. And that's kind of the whole idea behind it. And the community's really supported it.
I mean, look for, you know, we're about to talk this 3-game basketball slate, for instance, and like DraftKings alone, there's a $15 contest with 100K to first place. Like, yeah. That was unheard of when me and you first started doing this. And now it's like, this is a 3-game slate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of what you're saying. Like, two less entries of that changes one person's life. And you don't even think about it. Like, again, it's just something that you don't think about. Clean water. Like, we're so fortunate that we have clean water. And there's just so many people, like you said, what was it? 780 million. That's just crazy to think about. Yeah. Like, think about that. It's crazy. So Drew, again, I'll put the link in the podcast description and I'll tweet it out when I tweet out the podcast. If you have any questions, it's really simple. Just ask Drew. He tries to reply to everybody, especially when it comes to this kind of stuff. So it's Drew Dinkmeyer over there on Twitter. Just, I mean, ask him. The dude, Drew's a nice guy. Yeah. I call him a jerk. No, I'm just kidding. let's talk some basketball, man. I can't have you on and not talk some basketball.
Let's do it.
Love what you're doing over there at Establish the Run. You guys have built a really good team. And I mean, you've been one of the best basketball minds for a long time. So we're going to do morning grind style. I already talked to Drew. We're going to do game by game, team by team, like we always do, just kind of give our first thoughts early. I mean, we're recording night before, like we always do. And we start with Dallas at Atlanta. 225 total here. Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite. McLaughlin's out. Gallo and Lou Williams are both questionable on the Atlanta side. Let's talk Dallas first, Drew. Luka. I mean, is there, all right, we're done talking Dallas. talk to me. What do you like here for Dallas?
Yeah. I mean, I think these are one of these situations where, you know, Atlanta and Dallas both have historically played a little bit, you know, quicker. But the big question mark for Dallas this year is really not around Luka, because I think it's really what else is there? And, you know, so many years ago, it was Kristaps Porzingis, but last year was just such a disastrous year for Porzingis. And if you look at kind of what they did in the offseason, they really kind of doubled down on this plan that they've had for the last few years of just getting 3-and-D shooters to spread the floor around Luka and build the whole offense around him. And he carries such an enormous offensive responsibility that each and every time out, kind of no matter the matchup, you know, he's going to probably get into the 50s on DraftKings. And so the question is, like, who else could potentially be a play from Dallas? And there's really not that much. I mean, the rotation's deepened out with the addition of Reggie Bullock. They also went out and got Moses Brown. So they have like this like four-headed potential center rotation that they could play at any given time. And on these 3-game slates, guessing those things can sometimes be the difference. But it's very, very difficult to project. The big thing for me will just be, what does Porzingis look like? Because he's now priced in the 7K range. This used to be a player that was 8,500 and above pretty consistently. And my guess is he won't be a player that generates a ton of attention on this 3-game slate, because you've got Milwaukee and you've got Miami, and we'll see, you know, with Milwaukee if Drew Holiday is able to go or not. So you'll have an injury there. So I'm really interested from Dallas's perspective to see if Porzingis, you know, can get back to the form of 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, we already got that probable tag on Drew Holiday, which is always fun on a 3-game slate, because that's going to change 3 times before lock. yeah, as far as Dallas is concerned, I mean, Luka is obviously the main target. I mean, it's like Bielitsa. We talked about Bielitsa on the podcast the other day, the 2-game slate. He won the slate for us. Well, Patty Mills too. But I mean, just kind of looking at Dallas, you can't get excited. if Moses Brown starts, ton of interest at 3,800. I think they'll start Powell, but yeah. I want to see how this first game rotation wise, minutes wise, works out with those two guys, because Moses Brown's ceiling is massive. So he's one of those guys that I'll probably take some shots on here, just in if he gets that 20-minute, 25-minute type of game. On the Atlanta side, I mean, this is a strong starting five. Like, we got Capella, Young, Collins, healthy Collins. What are you looking at here on the Hawks side of things?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging for the Hawks because, you know, at the end of last year, they were so banged up with injuries that you kind of have everybody's price coming in. Like, even look at like DeLon Wright, right? He was on Sacramento towards the end of last season and he went on a tear at the end of last season. So a lot of the sites, they carry over sort of the pricing from the last season in terms of how guys were doing. And so you don't get a lot of clear cut values on Atlanta. I think the one that's most intriguing to me is DeAndre Hunter. He was injured most of last season. He's here at 4,700. He was off to a really good start last season, increased his rebounding rate, was making those threes that are such an important part of the Atlanta offense. And I think he looks like, you know, potentially the best value. And then maybe the big upside guy for me would be Cam Reddish. We've just seen so many like little flashes from Cam at different points. And if Gallinari is unable to go, that should free up enough consistent minutes for a very deep Atlanta team. I mean, Atlanta could go 12 deep if they needed to. They're probably the deepest team in the NBA, in my opinion. But that's a really interesting spot. And then, you know, without Okongwu, really, will Gorgui Dieng play like the straight backup center role, or will they use John Collins in, you know, get deeper into the wing rotation by sliding Collins over to the five? I think that's a really interesting part of this equation too, because Gorgui Dieng's always been a good point per minute producer. And if he got 17, 18 minutes, if Capella's like limited, because Capella's always got heel issues, if Capella's like limited to 30, that would open up a possibility on a three-game slate for Gorgui Dieng. But Reddish and DeAndre Hunter are probably my favorite plays on Atlanta.
They always seem to kind of limit John Collins too. So, I mean, there's a road for the gorgeous dong, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, Hunter, I think, is super interesting for tournaments, especially if Gallinari doesn't play. And if Gallinari doesn't play and Lou Williams ends up sitting too, I mean, Cam Reddish at 3,900, he's a guy that can put up 30 plus fantasy points given the opportunity. So I like those calls.
Yeah, and I'm honestly not even sure if Lou Williams is in the rotation to start the season.
Yeah, I mean,
they are so deep. Like, DeLon, the pickup of DeLon Wright was a really big deal because I think he's one of the best backup guards in the league. And then you've got Herter and Bogdanovich. They just go so deep, this team. So it'll be really interesting. They're one of these teams that's going to play 10-man rotations night in and night out. But some nights they might even stretch into 11 because they got that many good players.
The exact opposite of my Orlando Magic. That is for sure. moving on, we got the Bucks and the Heat. 224.5 total here. Milwaukee's a 2-point favorite. Hood is out. Portis is out. DiVincenzo's out. And then on the Miami side, Oladipo's out. Drew Holiday on the injury report anyway. He's probable. So likely to see Drew Holiday. Crushed my dreams the other night. I had such good teams going with Drew. Let's talk Milwaukee first. I mean, I think the biggest thing to kind of note here, Giannis, first game of the season, 39.5% usage rate. I mean, when the guy's getting the minutes, he's going to produce.
Yeah, he's just almost an impossible fade each and every night when he's priced around this 10,000 mark. Like 10.3 is just too cheap. He will eventually settle in closer to 11 and maybe a little bit over 11 is my guess. The thing that will hold him down is these occasional Milwaukee blowouts where, you know, his minutes get cut down to like 28, 29. I don't foresee that being the case against a Miami team, you know, playing their first game of the season in a Miami team that's also very deep and very good defensively as well. So this might not be the best spot on paper for Giannis, but it's a really good price tag at 10.3. And so he really headlines the plays for Milwaukee. And then after him, you know, we saw Jordan Nwora play really, really well and get a lot of opportunities in that first game in the absence of Bobby Portis. I think this is a game against Miami where they could lean into some of those Giannis at center lineups and get more of the wings on the floor like they did against Brooklyn with Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton playing a little bit more. But they're not that deep without Portis, without Hood, without DiVincenzo early in the season. They've got some injuries. So I think you're going to expect to see the starters once again reach up into those mid-30s.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting spot for the Bucks because, like you said, on paper, Miami is going to be fantastic defensively. But Giannis in close games is, like you said, at 10-3 is just unfadable. And I'm one of those guys that, like, Giannis is someone that cash games, you'd love playing him in tournaments. Yeah. I mean, some nights when the games aren't going to be close, you don't get enough minutes in tournaments. But I think this is a great spot. Nora, man, I mean, he got the opportunity in that first game and didn't disappoint. This is going to be a little bit tougher matchup, but I still think the usage, the minutes are going to probably be right around that same amounts. I mean, we could see Giannis and Bam playing against each other in this game at some points. Brooke Lopez might get run off the floor a little bit here. On the Miami side, I mean, you know, me and Meansy talked about it last week. They went out and they got Kyle Lowry. Goran Dragic's gone. This is a really interesting looking Miami playoff built team.
Yeah, they're very deep. I think, you know, Milwaukee plays so fast that it elevates a lot of the production against Milwaukee, even though they're a very good defensive team from a fantasy standpoint. And similarly, I expect Miami to push the pace a little bit more this year. Kyle has always been a guy every step of the way, Memphis, Houston, Toronto, that has loved pushing the pace, even though he's an older player. Tyler Hero looked really good in the preseason after pretty much a lost year last year, as his development kind of you know, stumbled last year after a really good rookie season. So I'm interested to see him at 5,200. I don't think will draw a lot of attention. I don't think projection systems will have a really strong projection on him. So I think he could be kind of an interesting tournament play. But honestly, I think you're going to have to pick your spots with Miami, and they're not a team that you can load up on early because I think everybody is kind of priced appropriately now that you're adding Kyle Lowry into the mix instead of Goran Dragic, just in terms of splitting up usage, splitting up ball handling responsibilities. I do think Miami will play faster, and that'll erode some of that damage going from Dragic to Lowry in terms of the fantasy value for guys like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. But I do think that, you know, these are generally some tough prices on the Miami guys. The only guy that I would say that I think has a chance to crack, you know, like 20 minutes that's below 5,000 is maybe Max Strus. But he's a pure shooter and really has to get there by getting super hot from three. So there's not a lot of value on the Miami side to be had. And that's where I think, you know, you're probably going to max yourself of one of Butler, Lowry, Adebayo, something like that. It'll be probably hard for multiple of these guys to get there.
Yeah, I mean, Bam sets up as a pretty decent matchup. Butler is always someone that has his hands involved in so much stuff that he's always something. It's really interesting in tournaments, man. I think Tyler Hero is someone that I think I'm going to be taking some shots on here just because Tyler Hero has those nights where he shoots like 6-7 out of 9 from 3-point range, and like they just add up super quick, and he has those 40-point games, and he's at 5,200, and I don't think Kyle Lowry really coming in is going to affect him too much, if not even maybe help Tyler Hero. So I think Tyler Hero in tournaments is someone that I'm just kind of looking at, but I'm with you, like under 5K for Miami, we're looking elsewhere on this slate. I don't want to play Dwayne Dedman. I mean, you can, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
All right, we finished it out. We got the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors, 226.5 total here. Golden State is a 3-point favorite. On the Clippers side, Batum, Ibaka, Kawhi are out. Klay and Wiseman out for the Golden State Warriors. I will say this about the Warriors, too. We're going to talk about Jordan Poole when we get to the Warriors, but he was definitely hobbled the other night in that game. So definitely something to kind of note. Let's start with the Clippers. I mean, Kawhi being out is huge. I don't even know if Batum and Ibaka is huge, but I mean, this definitely sets up as a spot for a guy like Paul George to see pretty big usage and maybe even opportunities for Bledsoe and Jackson to get involved.
Yeah. Paul George is going to carry a really big usage rate this year and a really big offensive responsibility on the whole. He's priced appropriately for it. The thing is, like, they had the playoff run without Kawhi. So all these guys are kind of priced a little bit like they have been playing without Kawhi. The benefit of having Batum and Ibaka out just makes it so that it's a little bit clearer how they should be approaching this situation, right? Like, they're probably going to play a lot of the small ball stuff that they played in the playoffs without Kawhi, with when they were without Ibaka as well. It's a little bit harder to do it without Batum too, because they would play basically like Marcus Morris Sr. at a center spot. They play like, Kawhi or Batum at the four, Paul George or Kawhi at the three, and they kind of keep going down that way. They're a little bit thinner in terms of wing options this year, but I think it's a good opportunity this game specifically for a lot of Terrence Mann, who I think can really take a nice step forward this year. He's 4,500. I expect him to be one of the stronger values on the slate. I think he'll probably slide into that primary sixth man role. I think they'll start Bledsoe, Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and Zubats. But it's important to note, Marcus Morris was limited during the course of the preseason. Older veteran player, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of take him up to speed. And I think, you know, a youthful player, kind of an ascending player like Terrence Mann is a really, really strong play on this three-game slate.
I mean, kind of guessing this rotation is what could make or break your night. Because Golden State played so fast in the preseason, they played so fast the other night. That's kind of what we have to go off of right now. So I think if you can kind of nail the Clippers, I mean, I don't mind maybe taking shots at like a Luke Kennard. He saw 24 minutes in the four preseason games that he played, maybe even a Justice Winslow. I would much prefer maybe taking shots on like these under 4K guys for the Clippers than like even the under 5K guys for Miami, like we were just talking about. So maybe taking tournament shots there, because realistically, we could see Morris going up against like a Draymond at the five in this game, and someone like Kennard or even Justice Winslow just getting enough minutes at their price where the opportunity will be there, whether or not it happens or not, you never know.
Yeah, I think this game is going to play small and very fast. So, and I'm in agreement with you. Winslow and Kennard are both players that have been successful when they've had bigger opportunities in the past. They're really cheap here, and there is room with this rotation kind of in shambles due to some of the injuries, certainly to grab the bull by the horns. The biggest question mark with Justice Winslow is always health. But early in the season, you know, taking a shot on a guy who might be at his healthiest, I think makes a lot of sense. So I'm with you on Winslow and Kennard being two of the more interesting tournament salary relief plays on the slate.
I mean, it is somewhat encouraging that he played three preseason games and played 20 minutes in those games for Winslow. So you never know. What we do know for Golden State is Curry played terrible the other night and still had a good game. I mean, a triple-double Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, monster usage in that game. He's probably going to be pretty popular again. What is kind of, I mean, Bielitsa, like, what's standing out to you? I mean, we don't want to do one game sample size, but we got to watch that game. Everybody watched that game that watched basketball. What's standing out here for the Warriors?
I think the big thing that stood out to me, I was on the side of considering a Jordan Poole fade on opening night just because he's going to be so highly utilized. And in the preseason, his rotations were inconsistent where he didn't always get to close. And that's kind of what happened last game. Now, I think part of it was the fact that he was hobbled, but I think his playing time, I don't think it's as consistent as the ownership is going to dictate. The role certainly is in terms of the usage when he's on the floor. He's going to take a ton of shots. And so he's got immense upside. But you know, he ended up at 25 minutes last game. And so I'm interested to see how the field reacts to him specifically and Bielitsa, because Bielitsa, this is another good matchup for Bielitsa to continue to build on kind of that success of the opener. And what we saw in that game was that Bielitsa's playmaking and passing along with Draymond Green really, really allows kind of 2 points of leverage for the Warriors offense to run Poole and Curry and Damian Lee and all these shooters kind of around all these screens to be able to have the two playmakers. And it really opened up a lot of things for the Warriors in the second half. And I think that was really a key to them winning that game. And so I think the opportunity will be there. This does not look like a Kevon Looney game to me. It looks like it's going to play a smaller game on the whole. I think, you know, Iguodala will probably be out there for his minutes, Otto Porter for his minutes, but those guys, they look worn, and they look like, you know, that it's going to be occasionally there, but more often than not there from a ceiling perspective. I'm interested to see if we get any reporting on whether Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green have their minutes caps increased in this one, because I do think the price tags on both those guys are pretty compelling. And I think, honestly, I think this is maybe the most compelling kind of stack value game for me on the slate, where you can almost like stack up the value against each other on this game and then maybe pick, you know, Giannis in a Miami guy back, or Luka and Trey back, like stars from the other games, and then kind of condense and focus on the value in this game.
I think on a tournament perspective too, thinking contrarian, going Curry and George on the high end of this game, and you know, maybe looking for value in that Dallas Atlanta game a little bit, with like Reddish and guys that we talked about. Yep. I mean, that could be the contrarian approach, but yep. I'm with you, man. This game definitely sets up. I'm going right back to the well and Bielitsa. I think Looney and Zubac both kind of get run out of this game,
yeah.
and this game just goes smaller. I'm right there with you as far as that thought is concerned. And I mean, if Wiggins' minutes are going to be limited again, there's plenty of room for Damian Lee to get minutes. It's a three-game yeah. slate. I don't want to play Damian Lee, but I think like he's someone that's in the conversation.
Yeah, he's my favorite of their sub, let's say, you know, below Bielitsa. Bielitsa at 4,600 is stronger than Damian. But below him, he's my favorite of those guys. And then I would also say, like, if you're MMEing, you're playing a lot of lineups, I think this is a better game for Juan Toscano-Anderson than the Lakers game. I don't know that that means it makes much of a difference from a GPP perspective because he's so low usage, but he can pop occasionally because he has these all-around contributions in fast games. And then he only played like 13 minutes in the first game. I think this type of game, the Lakers just run out so many like true center bigs, and we saw Anthony Davis just dominating JTA. There's nobody that's going to give him that kind of problem on the Clippers. So this could be a game where if you're like fading Bielitsa, I could see scenarios where the Warriors end up, let's say Bielitsa doesn't have a shot that night, or he's struggling defensively or whatever. I could see JTA closing with Draymond in certain situations, really low probability play. But if you're making a lot of lineups, I would consider him as a salary relief option too.
You mean you don't think Hartstein's going to dominate him? All right.
I don't think so.
I'm with you. All right. All right. Before I let you go, we're going to play the morning grind game because it's fun. And I mean, I like beating guests. So I'm just kidding. We're going to use DK pricing. We'll start with favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Again, it's our first look. I mean, we're just kind of looking at this. I mean, it's night before. I always look at it first look. So give me a guy under 5K to go 7X.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Terrence Mann. I really think this is a good spot for Terrence Mann. And 7X, you know, we're talking 31 and a half, you know, 32, somewhere around there. So I think we can get that from Terrence Mann at 4,500 on this one.
I appreciate you giving me the layup. I'm going to take Bielitsa. I don't care if he's chalk. I'm still going to take him. My favorite question on the morning grind game, over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Yeah, I think this one is going to be Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if Drew is able to go, he's such a challenging defensive opponent to go up against. I also think kind of as a point guard acclimating to a new situation, I think you might see him be more deferential to some of the other options. And, you know, just generally, I think he's the weakest of the 8K plus plays in terms of ceiling as well. Like he averaged the fewest fantasy points per game last year of all these options. I like Kyle, but he's overpriced here, especially for this new role where he has more competition for usage on Miami.
Yeah, he was mine as well. I guess I'll go Butler.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like my least favorite spot of the 8K guys. I mean, really like Trey kind of going up against Luka. We talked about that. Giannis in a close game. I mean, I think it's Butler and Lowry as my like potential, like maybe they get there, but they don't really get there yeah. tournament wise. So I'm going to go, I'm kind of staying that same game with you. Give me your favorite 6X play, any price range, just a guy that you think is 6X today.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. I mean, other than Terrence Mann, I don't want to go back to the well. I need to give a new useful play. So 6X, I will go with, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I think this is a really good game for Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love this spot for him. I mean, Brooke Lopez... Yeah, I mean, and then even if they take Brooke Lopez out and you're getting some Giannis against Bam, Bam should be able to overpower. I like this spot. I mean, we just kind of said Lowry and Butler, so going Bam is a lot of fun. I think Giannis is easy. I think we're going to see a huge bounce back game for Steph as far as shooting the ball. So I'm going to go, he's going to go over 60 fantasy points in this one. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. We do this night before. I always try to like recommend somebody that you think is going to be for a 3-game slate, maybe under like 15%.
Yeah. So 15%, my weird GPP play. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think who will actually be 15%.
It's so hard on these smaller slates. So, we get like the 8-game slates. Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, man, I'm going to go with Damian Lee. I don't think he'll be 15%.
I don't think he'll be chalk. So that's, yeah, that's
I think he might. I mean, he might be in that range. Damian Lee would be my primary option. If I have to go like for sure below 15, I'd go Cam Reddish.
Yeah, I like both of those. My initial thought is not going to be low owned after we got done talking about the slate. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit here. I had someone and then I just
scrolled past.
No. We just talked about him. Why can't I think of his name? Tyler Hero. It was driving me crazy. Tyler Hero. I think he'll be under 15%. I don't think he'll be very popular in this game. And I'm just kind of hoping on betting on one of those games where he just shoots the ball super well. The first guy, like my initial thoughts was to say like Kennard, but I think going through the slate, I think he's going to be someone that gains ownership throughout the day.
I think so. I think the Clippers is going to be the place that people look to ownership. It'll be interesting to see like Kennard versus like Damian Lee, because Damian Lee has a box score game that actually is there that delivered value while Kennard hasn't done it. And so that one's a really interesting one to me. And another name that I'll throw out in that range that might get lost just because those guys do get some value is Jalen Brunson. He's only 3,500 on DraftKings, and he's usually been kind of the primary second unit guy for Dallas. Of all those guys, if you're just looking at points per game from last year, he's actually the highest. But I'm interested to see like how he grades out compared to those guys, because I think there will be less talk of him because it's so much more fun to talk about Luka.
All right, last question before I let you go. Chalky play, and you know that you're okay with being overweight on in tournaments on this slate.
Chalky play that I'm okay being overweight on in tournaments. So I think for me, man, I think that's going to be Giannis, honestly.
Yeah.
This price tag is just bad. And I think he's got, like, Luka has the 80-point upside. Steph can occasionally get up there. PG, I don't think, has that. Trey rarely has that. And I don't think it's an upside spot for Luka against Atlanta. I think they're a pretty good defense. So I think even though Miami is a very good defense, I just think Giannis, the role that he has is so monstrous.
It's huge. Almost a 40% usage rate in the first game. So I mean, I'm going back to the well on someone that I already said, but I'm okay with being overweight on Bielitz in this game. I really think this game goes small. I'm perfectly okay. I don't even think it's chasing, because I think this is the same type of game where the Warriors play fast and this game goes smaller, especially with some of the injuries to the Clippers. So I'm going to say Bielitza for me. Drew, I mean, it's been too long. We're going to have to do this like once a year, right around this time again. Sure. So again, make sure you guys check out what Drew is doing. Welly Maker 5.0. I'm going to post the link. Any final thoughts before I let you go?
No, man. I just want to say I'm so grateful for what Roto Grinders in general has done for this industry and so many great people that I've met over the years through the Roto Grinders community. So I used to be a much bigger part of the Roto Grinders community, but you know, our paths have differentiated over the many years, but I still have great respect and appreciation for all the stuff that you guys have done over there. So many OGs. And so I wish you guys the best of luck in the basketball season, the rest of the football season, and so good to catch up, my man.
Yes. I mean, respect is what it's always about. And, you know, you've definitely earned it. And a lot of people in this industry have earned it. And, you know, it's always fun to kind of collab on stuff. Appreciate coming on, talking some basketball. But again, I mean, I love what you're doing with the Welly Maker. Make sure you guys are checking that out. That's going to wrap it up here for Thursday. We will have the football morning grind up today as well. Grant and I will have that up Thursday afternoon. We'll be back talking basketball tomorrow. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.